It's 10 o'clock, and you're tuned to WSHU Public Radio, 91.1 WSHU FM and HD in Fairfield, 89.9 WSUF in Greenport, Noyac, and New London, and streaming live on the internet at WSHU.org. Well, you're invited to WSHU's Join the Conversation get-together with renowned food writer and New York Times columnist Mark Bittman. He'll talk about his new book, How to Cook Everything, The Basics, All You Need to Know to Make Great Food. It's a guide for any modern cook with fundamental techniques and essential lessons from dicing vegetables and roasting meat to cooking building block meals. Come here, Mark Bittman, on Saturday, March 16th, 11 a.m. at IKEA, New Haven. Please reserve your seat at WSHU.org. Sponsored by IKEA, New Haven, and the Wyatt Cimbali Group. WSHU has tickets to give away to see Leonard Cohen in concert and win some VIP merchandise. His Old Ideas World Tour comes to Toyota Oakdale Theater in Wallingford for one night only, Tuesday, April 2nd. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, but two winners will be chosen from all entries received online at WSHU.org by Sunday, March 10th at midnight. Well, the snow has moved on. It is going to be mostly cloudy for the evening and becoming very clear after midnight with the low in the mid-20s on the overnight. The winds out of the north, 10 to 15 miles per hour, although there could be some gusts up to 30 miles per hour before the evening is over. It's going to be a sunny Saturday, however, with a high in the mid-40s, and it may even get close to 50 before the afternoon is out. The winds will continue out of the north, but only 5 to 10 miles per hour. A mostly clear Saturday night is forecast with the overnight low in the lower 20s. And on Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny as well with a high in the mid to upper 40s. And the winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. For Monday, well, it could be cloudy. There is a chance of rain showers forecast for the afternoon with a high in the lower 50s. Well, my name's Steve Winters. The program is Profiles in Folk, and I'll tell you, neither snow nor rain nor heat nor the gloom of night stays a musician from coming in to visit Profiles in Folk. And tonight we are happy to let you know that we've got a return visit from singer from Long Island, Marcy Geller, who was with us nearly 5 years ago was her last visit here. She's joined by percussionist Marshall Rosenberg, and we're going down to Studio A to hear Marcy Geller with Marshall Rosenberg.
She wakes to unfamiliar quiet. Her feet leave the bed, touch down on cold ground. Socks scattered like space debris. She enters Earth's orbit. No demands for breakfast cartoons. She puts a pot of coffee on for one. But what will this day bring? Secrets well hid. She might emerge from a day without the kids. She yearns for chatter and emerge from a day without the kids. Ooh. A master of procrastination. It didn't turn out as she planned. Debate some moral of her story. Makes peace with this strange motherland. But what will this day bring? Secrets well hid. She might emerge from a day without the kids. What will this day bring? Secrets well hid. She might emerge from a day without.
I'm glad you chose that song, although you know, I've got some very mixed feelings about it. I don't know whether to be sad or to be happy.
I think it's a mixture of both. Yeah. I mean, I always refer to it as my empty nester song because it was inspired by a friend who was experiencing that first weekend when the kids weren't in the house.
Right.
And as I think there was a lot of melancholy and a lot of sadness, but at the same time, there was this rediscovery of parts of herself that she had forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
beautiful, beautiful song.
Thank you.
And it's just, we welcome to Profiles in Folk and WSHU, Marcy Geller for a return visit, and she's joined by percussionist, Marshall Rosenberg.
Hard to swallow.
I was, yes, all of a sudden. But it's good to have you both here.
It's good to be back.
Marcy just finished a gig last night up in Danbury.
Yep.
And Marshall was with her. But he drove back to New York City and then drove back up to WSHU tonight.
Yep.
So our compliments to him, but it's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And the new album, I think, is just stunning.
Thank you.
It's called Open Book.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it sounded, you know, like you, a sort of a softer approach to your music.
Yeah, I've been very immersed in the folk community the last bunch of years, and I wanted to do an album that was a little bit more intimate and a little bit more personal, maybe. But at the same time, I wanted to be very conscious of universal messaging so that it wasn't all about me, you know.
Right,
it was about things that
exactly.
other people were experiencing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I don't know. I guess maybe part of me felt like it was time to discard some of that rocker chick that still rebels in me every now and then. Like maybe it was just unbecoming at this point in my life. I don't know.
Right. Well, music, you know, music changes, our lives change, but I really think it's a knockout album.
Oh, thank you. That's nice to hear.
And you've got an all-star cast.
I do.
Of
I got
help
lucky.
On it as well.
Yeah.
You're doing, you know, duets and and such, and we'll get to one of those a bit later in the program.
But,
so how was the gig up in Danbury? We should alert people to this coffee house that you were at.
Yeah, they do a coffee house series on campus at Western Connecticut State University called Midtown Coffee House. And, you know, I'll be honest, I did not know what to expect, as per usual with shows, you know, and especially when it's on a college campus, you don't know if you're going to be in a cafeteria or, you know, like where it's going to be. And we were kind of knocked out that we walked into this beautiful theater with a baby grand piano that had just been tuned that afternoon. And it was just a spectacular room to hear music in and to play in. So I would highly recommend supporting them because, boy, they go all out. They even had food for the audience, which I thought was like, I guess because it's college, like they feel they must have food always available just in case the kids aren't eating or something.
Mm-hmm. Some of the some of the Connecticut coffee houses do, though. They always have kind of a refreshment table and such.
Yeah.
You know, coffee and tea, but also a lot of baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
yeah, baked goods are like a prerequisite, I think, for coffee house.
Right. Well, I'm glad you've been playing a lot more in Connecticut, I've noticed, because your name keeps coming up in my folk calendar.
Good.
And this is a good thing. So that's why it's also been good to have you, you know, have you back in to visit. So we get you to more venues here.
Yeah, I'd like
this,
to. That would
be
nice.
On this side of our little pond
that
divides Long Island and Connecticut.
And now it's just a ferry ride away. I mean, I'm one town over from the ferry. And so technically it takes me shorter to get to Connecticut than it does to get to Manhattan at this point in my life. So it's a pleasure to come here and to perform.
Although my guess is it was pretty cold on that ferry yesterday.
You know, inside it's not so bad. Yesterday was a pretty miserable period. The weather was not fabulous, but we got through it. And I'm so glad that I came.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you. Thanks. Now, Marcy's new album, Open Book, is your third album, solo album?
Fourth or fifth? Gosh, I'm blanking now. It's the third one that you have.
Okay.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah, it's the fourth full length.
Okay. Solo. And you were last here with 2/3 of Lucky 13.
That's correct. That's correct.
You have a good memory. You remember that day.
I do remember.
In July of 2008, it was. You were with Kathy Kreger.
Yep.
And Susan DeVita couldn't make it.
Right.
But you've since gone on. Mm-hmm. You've disbanded that group, and you're now doing a solo.
Yeah, back to solo.
Yeah.
It's easier. It's less scheduling. less calendar.
I can imagine. Well, even that day you were here.
Right.
It was a scheduling problem.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, what was your approach to the new album?
You know, I left the band. You know, we had decided it had done its course, and then I was sort of left with me. And I sort of panicked for the first month, I guess. And I decided to just, you know, let's take some time off. So, of course, the songs started coming and the self-reflection. And all of a sudden, I decided to start hitting some open mics just to test the waters a little bit, you know, be a little bit under the radar. And I'll never forget the first one that I did was down at Christopher Street in the Village in the city.
Okay. Right.
And Carol Ann Celebello, who also had just left a trio, Red Molly.
Yes, right, exactly.
I'll never forget that she sat down next to me in a pew, because it's in a church, Christopher Street, and she put her hand on my knee and she said, "It's going to take you 6 months. And then you'll get your legs back and you'll feel normal again." And I was so grateful to her for being so honest and supportive, because I really thought I was going to just melt and disappear. And, you know, I just kept going and started going to Songwriters Exchange, which I had actually started a bit before. And it was sort of a life-changing year for me, because all of a sudden I had all these songs and I said, "Wow, it's time to do an album already," you know, and you know, just kind of unfolded. I decided for once in my life not to manipulate and organize and plan every step of my life. I decided to let it just unfold, and it did in the most remarkable way.
Hmm. Okay, well, do you and Marshall want to do another piece?
Sure. Let's do, I know what we're going to do. This is called Driving in Manhattan.
Oh,
and
yes.
I literally wrote it in the car while driving. And don't fear, I have an iPhone, so I use the voice memo app. I wasn't writing on paper. So it goes like this. Driving in Manhattan on a Tuesday afternoon was the perfect place to have my first meltdown. Until I block them, why couldn't you try to be a little kinder? You're just another face driving in the lane that won't let me over. Trying to
show you how to be a better person. It's just a silly game. I'll try to show restraint while driving in Manhattan. I received your message while driving in the car. You're so sorry that it didn't work out. And then I read you chose someone else from a post on Facebook. Why couldn't you try to be a little kinder? You could have told the truth. I know it's a big move when lying's your fodder. Call me your good friend, but this street's a dead end. I'm driving in Manhattan. Why, oh why, do I set myself up so you can let me down? My head weighs like 1,000 pounds right now. Makes it hard to get out of bed. Instead, I'll give you my heart to bounce around. Driving in Manhattan, and I couldn't give a damn when the radio tells me it's over. I guess I could have stayed in my bed. Why couldn't you try to be a little kinder? Maybe days would shine if somehow we could find a way to try harder. I'm trying to show you how to be a better person. If I stop playing this game, baby, I could change while driving in Manhattan. The song remains the same, and I'm just the refrain, driving in Manhattan.
That's a song, too, you know, with a lot of emotions in it. You know, there are times when you can sense the anger, but there's also times that it's sort of almost whimsical or wry.
I am not a simple woman. There are many layers.
And then there's layers on layers.
Yes, there are. I think a lot, if you couldn't tell already.
Right. Oh, I know.
And I do a lot of driving, so I have a lot of time to think.
But that is on the new album by Marcy Giller as well, called Open Book.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that I did want to, you know, touch on, you've just gotten back, you know, we're talking about Manhattan here in the song, but you just got back from another big city, Toronto, where you attended the International Folk Alliance annual conference. And that was your first time?
Very first time.
So yeah, what was your impression? I mean, this is the, I don't know, gathering,
the gathering
for the year.
It was amazing. It was like walking around with the air, like, electrified everywhere you went. And for me, what was so incredible was just meeting so many new people, so many new musicians from all over the world. It wasn't just, you know, from North America.
Right.
And, I mean, the magic that happened. You know, you can't You can't plan that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, you can stick a bunch of musicians in a room and it'll be a cacophony of mess. Or you can stick a bunch of musicians in a room and it's just the most remarkable, beautiful thing you've ever heard. And I had so many wonderful moments like that where, you know, music just happened and it was just so spectacular and invigorating and inspiring. And I feel very, very grateful that I got to go finally, and experience it, because a lot of people had me fairly intimidated, like it was going to be this big mosh of people and forget about being noticed. And I just kind of went in with the attitude of, like, I'm not going to try and do anything, you know, intentionally. I just want to see what it's like and sort of dip my toe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so fantastic. I don't know. It sounds so cliche. I just can't think of the words to describe it.
No, it's worthy of superlatives because it really is. The thing I found the time I had gone was that there was just too much to do.
Yeah.
And it really kind of overwhelms you where you're going, you know, I can remember just feeling some of that magic like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
At some of the showcase suites and things.
Well, you
and
need
you
to
say, well, who's up at this hour of the night? But there they are.
Well, that's, I mean, and explaining it to the audience who's not familiar with it, you know, with Folk Alliance, with any of these conferences, they have these things called guerrilla showcases that actually happen in people's hotel rooms. And they start at 11 o'clock at night and go until whenever. And, I mean, look, as a singer, I have a very different experience than you do going as a DJ or a presenter. Mm-hmm. Because my objective is to sing great and play great and to meet people. And so I was very mindful of not over planning because I wanted to be able to sing well. And, you know, when you're singing till 4 o'clock in the morning and getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep every night and eating sometimes because, you know, oh, something cool's happening. So you just forget about food. You know, you have to really be mindful. And I babied myself. You know, I had the vaporizer in the room and would go back and take breaks and vocalize and meditate, you know. So, yeah.
That's good. That's actually a very, very good tip. Do you use a vaporizer?
I use a humidifier at home, and I thought that I bought a humidifier to take on the road with me, and I found out when I got there that I bought a vaporizer. And so I've learned the difference between the two. But it did its tricks, you know. I stood over it and vocalized while it was steaming out the room, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's actually a good tip for people who are vocalists out there or want to be vocalists if they're not using something like that.
Well, because the hotels are so dry.
Yeah.
So
they really are.
You know, you're like, what's wrong? Where'd my voice go? Like, I lost my voice at so many of these conferences, and I didn't lose it at that one. So I credit the vaporizer.
Right.
That and potato chips.
Well, let's hope there will be plenty of gigs in the future, too. I mean, that's networking at these conferences is so important to performers.
Yeah, it is. It's very intense, too, because you don't want to get up in anybody's face and be obnoxious. You just want to kind of be yourself. And I don't know. That's the attitude I take. I'm like, I'm going to be myself and whoever I'm meant to attract in, that's what's going to happen. Okay. So.
Okay. Well, I want to continue on the big city theme.
Okay.
And move to a piece that will play off of the new album, Open Book. And stay in we're going to go back to Manhattan now because this is probably the first song that I have ever seen anybody write about the Museum of Modern Art.
Oh, so, I was wondering where you were going with this. Yeah.
And it's a wonderful song called Awakened Mind.
Thank you.
And just tell us a little bit about it. You're actually doing a bit of a duet on it as well.
I'm doing a duet with James Maddock.
Yeah.
And if you don't know James Maddock, you should, because he's just one of the most incredible singer-songwriters out there today. And he's pretty huge in the tri-state area, so I would think most of your listeners have heard of him. Fantastic energy. He's from the UK, so he's got this charming accent.
Yes,
and he's pretty adorable on top of it. And so I had asked him if he would sing on the album. And I don't think he knew what he was getting into. I don't think he realized it was 2 hours out to get to my place. It's like, oh, how far could it be? But he was such a prince about the whole thing. And this song was actually he actually sang a duet with me on Day Without the Kids, which we started up the hour with. But this song, we got through the first one so quickly, I said, you know, I've got this other tune. You want to give it a whirl? And sure. And he just did it in like a take and a half. It was like crazy good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is my ode to MoMA. I wrote it while I was walking through the halls of that incredible vestibule of art and magic. So
Great inspiration.
Yeah.
And a wonderful song.
Thank you.
Let's hear Awakened Mind.
I walk these rooms in silence, and I hear the brushstrokes of the past as you colored worlds with your perspective while they obscured the truth you made it last. Here you captured time for all to see. Now I can feel it through your eyes, and I will travel across the constellations, awakened mind. I feel my heart race as I journey through your jungle and my own now. I wade through pools and tides of your desire. Here you captured time for all to see. Now I can feel it through your eyes, and I will travel across the constellations away.
Marcy Geller off her brand new album, Open Book, which you can find through her webpage if you just go to marcygeller.com. And let me spell Marcy, because there are several ways.
Oh,
it's
yes.
M-A-R-C-I. M-A-R-C-I, and then G-E-L-L-E-R. So, you know, mush those first and last names together.
Yep.
And it's marcygeller.com, and you'll see a wonderful web page, but you must have the CD elsewhere too. Can they can get it through your web page?
They can get it through the web page.
Right.
I think it's also available digitally, like on all the different digital outlets,
right,
like Amazon,
mm-hmm,
and that kind of stuff. But this time, I just decided to keep it on the web. I didn't do CD Baby or anything like that.
Right.
But at Folk Alliance, I did meet a big dude from a distributor, a really big one, who is very interested. So we don't know. We'll see. We might be in stores near you soon. So
great,
we'll see.
Great. I've been finding, too, listeners, they'll contact me, even though we post a playlist, but they'll still say, well, where can I get this,
right,
or, and stuff. But I've been finding listeners recently doing a lot more downloading of just digital
yeah.
than in the past.
Yeah, but I'm old fashioned. If I pay for it, I want to hold it in my hands. I want to read the credits. I want to read the lyrics. I want to see the pictures. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And well, we should tell you that on that piece as well, if you heard that wonderful percussion, it was compliments of the man who's with us, Marshall Rosenberg, tonight, who's brought some of his drum equipment with him. But you were playing a film can on that.
Yes, this is the illustrious, formerly, it's an Eastman Kodak, formerly pre-digital film can. It once upon a time had a movie in it, I don't know which one. And I originally heard about this. There was years ago a jazz piano bar on Bleecker Street called the Surf Maid. And they had a house film can that the guys would come in there and all these, and they'd do their little brushy thing. And then I saw somebody use it live, and I will steal from anyone, basically, when it comes to percussion ideas.
Right, yeah.
And I was in situations where I'd find myself in groups where there wasn't a drummer, but they wanted to have a drum-esque thing. And the key thing about this kind of music is what I try to do is sort of imply the drum set without having the overwhelming volume. It's always for me about staying under the vocalist, basically. So my percussion setup, when I originally started, I was just playing a set of bongos, and then I got a set of congas, and then eventually, like I say, I would bring in sort of drum elements, cymbals and film can and a djembe, and this thing's called a mondo drum, which is a djembe head mounted on a snare. And the whole idea is that I kind of try to imply both a percussionist and a drummer, but again, always respecting the song and never to be overwhelming that, basically. So it's like you'll hear in places, there's a drum fill, and there's a kick drum part here, and there's a snare, there's a backbeat here. It's just sort of developed as sort of needed.
Right. How old is the film can?
Oh, well, this is probably my second or third film can. So this one is, and you can, I mean, the audience can't see this, but it's been fairly beaten up. You know, I mean, the original film can, actually, once upon a time, it was smooth, you know, but it's, by playing it, you actually can get different tones out of it, basically. Mm. So this one is probably a good 25 years or more old, you know, and it's beaten to hell, so it's basically, you know, but it's hanging in there.
And I was thinking more in terms, you know, like a 28 Martin guitar. Maybe like a 38 Kodak film.
Well, I don't think they make them anymore. So, you know, I have
you got to hang on to that one.
Ones when I grab them up, but I hope I never have to use them, basically.
Now, Marshall has got a very lengthy resume, but can you condense it just a little bit and let people know who you've played with?
Well, I've played for many years with David Buskin, before he became, and actually I'm the godfather of Buskin and Bateau, and who I still perform with, and we go back about 30 years together.
Wow.
Tom Rush, I go back to the late 70s with Tom Rush.
Okay.
Aztec Two-Step, years ago I played with Peter Allen, singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And God help me yet, but I did one summer. I played with Barry Manilow, which was fun.
At the Copa.
Right. Well, it was before Copa, pre-Copa.
I'm sorry.
And over the years, I work about 8 years in the Bacon Brothers band. So now the whole audience I just want you all to know you're all the second degree from Bacon, basically. You know, and lots of different people. Peter Yarrow, I've sat in with Bonnie Raitt. Joan Baez, David Bromberg, Jonathan Edwards.
Long.
You know, you hang around long enough, you get, you know, and you're sort of on these bills with people. And you say, hey, can I sit in on Sunshine? Sure, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. You know. Great. Well, it's good to have you here. Yeah. Good to have you here.
Yeah. Marcy and I, we've been playing together about
It's a little over a year now.
It's only about a year and a half. And we actually met at the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance conference, NERFA.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing that's interesting about NERFA is that everybody eats together. So you never know who you're going to sit next to. Right. And we ended up just having a conversation which started on music and then, of course, ended up, it was like 4 hours on life and everything. And, so we have this nice little power duo we do. And it's fun.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, especially when you've had no sleep.
You're both very conversational.
Yes.
Right. Oh, Okay, our guests here tonight, as you've been hearing on Profiles in Folk, are Marcy Geller. This is a return visit. It was too long a time between visits, I think.
It was. I agree.
And, you know, nearly 5 years. And as we were just talking to Marshall Rosenberg, and Marcy is from Long Island. Mm-hmm. And Marshall is from New York City.
Pittsburgh, yep. Pennsylvania, so, originally.
Yeah. Really? Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've been a New Yorker forever.
That's true. Okay, so is this a point where I should ask you who Tom McCarthy is?
Sure. You can ask me who Tom McCarthy was. You know, some people think he's a myth or a legend, and...
he's a legend.
You know, I was listening to the album, and I couldn't tell if it was a real person. I was like, now, do I know this person?
Well,
is there a link?
I could tell you the story about how the song happened. We're going to talk about this later, so I'm sort of preempting myself. But I participate in this thing called the Songwriters Exchange, which was started by Jack Hardy. And Jack Hardy, as you know, passed away 2 years ago this coming Monday on March 11th. And I was one of the musicians who actually sang at the memorial. There were many of us. It was mm-hmm. Jack's memorial, so it was all music, and it was a hard night. And as I was walking out the door of the church, this really tall man named Tom McCarthy, I think that was his name, he grabbed me. Now Tom McCarthy had come and brought like bushels of food and cases of wine to mm-hmm. the memorial. Mm. And apparently he showed up in a limousine and then he disappeared into the night. I mean, like, there's all these stories. And I don't know which one's true because I had to go home back to the island.
With Jack, there was always a lot of myths.
Exactly.
So, you know, even in death as in life.
Exactly. But he grabbed me on the way out of the church and he said, "You have to keep writing those songs. That's what Jack would have wanted." And I was kind of shaken up from the whole experience to begin with. And I was like, uh-huh.
Right.
And he said, "You know, I want one a day from you." And I was like, well, that's a tall order. So long story short, I went home and it was a hard night. I couldn't stop thinking about Jack. I couldn't stop thinking mm-hmm. about all the songs that I heard that night. And of course, there was Tom McCarthy floating in and out of my dreams. And I just woke up the next morning and this is what I came up with.
Okay, fine. Well, let's listen to it. This is also on Open Book, mm-hmm. and the song is entitled Tom McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom McCarthy was the tallest man I may have ever seen. At least that's how he looked above the rafters of the church where we convened. He clutched his beer and toasted his good friend, the likes of which we'd never see again. And he was right. He was right. Tom McCarthy was not young, but had the passion of a child. He argued with such fervor, sipped his beer, wiped his mouth, and then he smiled. That you should never show your hand, for fear they'd come and strip us of our land. And he was right. He was right. Oh, the oh, oh, one and only Tom McCarthy. Oh, the oh, one and only Tom McCarthy. Oh, the oh, one and only Tom McCarthy should. He set me on my way. That may have been the only time I'd see him, unless I made it back this way. His legend will always carry on, because I froze him in this little song. And I was right. I was right.
Oh,
the one and only Tom McCarthy. Oh,
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, the legend of Tom McCarthy.
Legend of Tom McCarthy. You know, and it's funny. I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, yeah, Jack Hardy, Willie Goggins' hat.
Yeah. Maybe there may be some relationship there.
Yeah, but a wonderful, wonderful song.
Thank you.
What about the music? How'd the music come for that? Did that come
honestly,
while you were dreaming too?
Yeah. People always ask me that, like, what comes first? And to me, I mean, music comes easier than lyrics do, but usually mm-hmm. I'll get the first line or the essence of the song with the words and the music together. And so that particular morning, it was weird because I was literally in bed. I woke up, I grabbed the pad that I have close to, my nightstand, and I started writing, and my husband walked into the room to ask me if I had, like, paid a bill or something. And I was like, no.
Don't bother me now. Shoot him away.
And he was like, oh, sorry. And I literally just wrote it verbatim from my head. Hmm. And it was funny because I don't usually do that. I usually sit at the piano since I started playing guitar about a year ago. But I went downstairs and I'm like, oh, this works. Like, the whole thing was there. So,
wow.
Yeah, that one came pretty quickly and pretty easily.
How long does your piano training go?
Oh, training?
I saw that picture on your webpage of that beautiful grand piano.
Oh, my baby grand, yes, my Bella that I finally got. I can't say there's been a tremendous amount of formal training in my history. I think I took 6 months of piano lessons when I was a kid. I played by ear, and I just would always ask the piano teacher to show me how it goes, and then he'd show me how it went, and I would just, kind of repeat it back, and I was just like a little music parrot, and it just wasn't helping me, and I was bored, so I stopped taking lessons. I did study again when I went to college, because I majored in music. But again, you just had to take, like, piano 101 to graduate. I didn't really ever learn to read well. I mean, I can read chords, but, right. like, as far as reading notes, I have really, really bad vision. I'm actually legally blind. Oh. So I've never been able to read two staves at once. Like, that just is beyond my abilities. Mm-hmm. But so I kind of get by with just knowing the theory and knowing the chords and stuff like that. And I could notate if I needed to, but I really try not to because it's so tedious for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh,
interesting. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about, you're doing more shows here in Connecticut recently. You're going to be on a festival this June.
Yeah,
Stafford Springs.
Right, and I don't have a tremendous amount of detail about that yet because they're still putting together the order and the artists that are going to be playing. But yeah, Stafford Springs is sponsoring the Her Fest, and Stafford Springs had Marshall and I a few weeks ago at their coffeehouse series with Nenad Bach, who is one of my most favoriteist people and musicians on the entire planet, and that night was just a pure joy. But they asked Marshall and I to come back in June. So
great,
that
great.
Sounded familiar.
Yeah,
it's going to be June 2nd. So keep that in mind, and they're going to do a number in a few moments that is a fairly new number. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been recorded, so you're going to have to go up to Her Fest. Or if Marcy plays any dates that are in the vicinity before that, you're going to have to go hear it live.
Right.
Especially since they missed the Midtown Coffee House date.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you play that last night?
Yes,
you
we did.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
It's part of our repertoire now.
And we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay, our guest is Marcy Geller, and she's joined by Marshall Rosenberg. Marcy has been on Live with Regis. She's been on Good Day New York, the Fox Morning Show. Yeah. She, too, has got a very lengthy resume. She's on soundtracks on MTV and VH1 and PBS and Discovery Channel and A&E. And you were also support act and backup vocalist for Ritchie Blackmore's Blackmore's Night.
Post Deep Purple, post Rainbow, Blackmore's Night. And actually, I think he's had Blackmore's Night longer than any of those, like both of those put together at this point.
You're right.
Yeah, they've been together a long time now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like rock star 101, like learning how to assimilate into a band that has, you know, thousands of fans all over the world and be treated totally different than I've ever been treated as a musician here. Like, actually have paparazzi follow you around. And, you know, I said at one point we were in Bulgaria, and I'm a runner, and you know, it's not the safest country in the world. So right. I'm like, how can I go running? Well, I woke up one morning to go for a run, and there were literally about 75 fans that slept in the lobby of the hotel that were waiting for me to go to escort me running through Bulgaria so I was safe. I'm like, I feel like Madonna, you know? It was like crazy.
That's a marvelous story.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I felt like, wow, like this is a big deal. I had no idea.
I guess it gives you some empathy for, you know, what celebrities, you know, big celebrities really go through.
Yeah, because the last thing I want anybody to see is me in the morning when I'm running.
Okay, so the song is Won't You Stay, mm-hmm. and people are going to have to go see and hear you guys live.
Yeah. Or hear right now.
Or they hear it right now.
Dinner still paints the air. Blankets our bodies this morning. The question beckons, will we carry on? Ooh, won't you stay? Winter threatens to take away the sun. Ooh.
Wonderful song.
Thank you.
And it's such a treat being 5 feet away from both of you.
Oh, how nice of you to say.
I can see that.
We feel the same way about you.
Sort of a powerful, presentation in a coffee house setting.
Thank you.
I can definitely see that.
I feel very blessed because, you know, when Marshall and I had that very fateful conversation and he suggested that we try playing together, I honestly couldn't wrap my head around piano and percussion. You know, I was always thinking there should be cello, there should be guitar, there should be something rhythmic, melodic. And then we played that first show together, and I was like, holy cow, why didn't I do this like a million years ago? Yeah, but that's because we hadn't met yet, right. So it happened when it was supposed to happen. Yeah.
Right. Where was the first show?
Long Island.
Yeah, I was at Last Licks, another wonderful coffee house series in Huntington.
Right.
Yeah, Gerald Moss
booked
us for that. So that was a great show. He just showed up. He didn't even, we didn't rehearse or anything. He just showed up. And I was like, you know, I'm not a perfectionist, but I definitely like things to be right, you know. And
what
so,
is this going to do to me?
Yeah.
And my music.
He's like, you know, I'll just show up. And I'm like, okay, because this is my hometown and there's going to be a lot of people at this show. And boy, he played and I was, blown away. It was so fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
It is instant chemistry.
It is instant chemistry.
It is good.
It works
chemistry.
That way a lot of times. It's a
beautiful sound.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow, wonderful. How is, you mentioned Last Licks, and how is the music scene on Long Island?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting better in a very strange way. You know, we always had the reputation of being coverland. They always used to call us that, which I really resented because, as somebody who's been an independent musician, you know, my entire adult life and fighting the good fight, you know, I always wanted to make sure that people knew that there was a vibrant music scene. And, you know, it ebbs and flows. And I would say now there's a lot of coffee houses and house concerts popping up all over the island. And if your listeners are not familiar with house concerts, it's a really...
They are.
I would think that anybody who listens to the station is. But, you know, it's an amazing thing that people are so passionate about music that they put concerts on in their living rooms or basements or kitchens, wherever it is.
Yeah, right.
It's a fabulous way to really connect with an audience because... you're there, you know?
Just like being here now.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's food and wine, so that always makes for a good night, too.
We can't do wine here on the air. FCC regulations.
I have to drive home. Yeah, right. How would they know? Right? How would they know what you're doing here? Let's be honest. But
where's the catering? You're right.
I don't know. We'll have to ask our chief engineer, Paul Levinovich, about that. Yeah.
Paul's like, just lost hair. You know, he's like, please don't drink anything.
But yeah, house concerts are. So I'm glad there are more. I see the one for the Song Box.
That's George Trapani. George Trapani is an amazing engineer and producer and supporter of music. And he used to do. I co-own a label called Sonic Underground. We've been around since 1995, George, we used to do this stage at the Huntington Fall Festival, and George was always the sound guy who did our sound for us.
Right.
Yeah.
What are some of the other house concerts? We have a large listenership in Long Island.
I know,
Island,
and I'm going to blank on names.
Are the Finches?
I was going to say the Finkenbergs.
The Finkenbergs.
Are you talking about just Long Island or around here also?
No, just Long Island,
Okay. Karen and Jack Finkenberg have one in there, and I think it's... what is it called? I don't know the name.
It's called like Purple Finch or something
It doesn't have a color in it, but I think it might be Finch House Concerts.
Finch House
something
Concerts,
like that.
Right. They're wonderful people.
Yeah, they are truly wonderful people. And I'm trying, there's a bunch of them. And of course, now that you asked me, I'm blanking on it, so forgive me. But, you know, there's a wonderful resource called Acoustic Live magazine that Rich Cuccaro puts out.
Yeah.
And he has everything in the tri-state area, as well as I think now he's covering Massachusetts and other parts of New England.
Yeah, I know he's doing Connecticut.
So they have full. So. He has full listings of the house concerts and the coffee house series and who's playing there and stuff.
Yeah, he's an old friend.
Mm.
And, we he's see each other at festivals all the time, mm-hmm. right? Does a fantastic job.
Yeah, he does.
So there's a lot going on Long Island. That's yeah, good. I know, you know, I get a lot of listings for, you know, the clubs and stuff over there.
Well, and there's arts councils too. I mean, yeah, you have the right. Huntington Arts Council and the Isla Park. There's a million different arts councils. You've got a lot of festivals going on now. You've got the Great South Bay Music Festival, mm-hmm. which we played this past summer. Mm-hmm. And there's also the Huntington Folk Festival that happens every
right.
year. And
right.
there's at the Hempstead, is it the Hempstead Park, they do the Harry Chapin.
Yes, right.
Stu Marcus mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. from Gathering Time right. produces that big festival all day long thing that goes on every year. That's amazing, in honor of Harry Chapin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, our guests here, Profiles in Folk, Marcy Geller, and again, I just want to remind you of her webpage is Marcy Geller, MarciGeller. .com
mm-hmm.
And you can find out about all her recordings, about her life, all her appearances. It's all there on the webpage with some marvelous photos too, which will show you that she has played really splendid places and then some dives like Banjo Jim's
yep.
down on the Lower East Side, which I know Banjo Jim's closed.
They did. They
did they demolish the building?
It's quite possible.
I mean, what really was a true dive?
I think it was condemned.
A lot, yeah.
I'm not really.
A lot of.
I don't
want to
spread rumors, but
a lot of wonderful music there. Though,
yes, yeah, absolutely.
Over the years,
sure.
I remember there was a bluegrass banjo player who actually first cued me in on it years mm-hmm. ago. And
yeah.
said, well, yeah, I play at Banjo Jim's every Wednesday night or something. And I said, yeah, not familiar with it. And sure enough, I took a look at the people that were going through
yeah.
there night after night.
Isn't it amazing? Well, I always say there's like so many places that you can play in the city. Not you wouldn't necessarily want to use their restrooms, but you know, you would want to play there.
Right. It's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if this guy's played at Banjo Jim's, but my guess is he probably has. He mm-hmm. does a duet with you on the album.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorite people.
Oh,
He's a very, very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy when he called you a dulcet-voiced angel.
I was pretty happy, too.
He was right on target.
Thank you.
And that's Vance Gilbert, who actually went mm-hmm. to college here in Connecticut.
Did he?
Yeah,
he went
to Connecticut College,
huh.
Conn College, out in New London on a tennis scholarship.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding you. Next time you see Vance Gilbert.
I am going to so tease him about his white shorts and
yeah.
tennis sneakers.
Exactly. That's
so
exactly
like,
it.
I can see that somehow now that you said
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can definitely see him playing tennis.
Well, you two really team up for a wonderful, wonderful duet
Thank
on
you.
The album.
Thank you.
It's a sterling piece.
Thanks.
And that's where we're going. I guess we'll go. Let's go next to
sure.
that.
Okay.
It's called No Weather Down.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a story behind the piece?
I think I started that one. I was flying. And it had been really yeah. bad weather for a stretch of time. And I am a sun girl. I love the sun. Sun dictates my moods. And I realized flying that when you get above the clouds,
there's
always sun. So, boof, there came the song that cheering me up during my moments of sadness during the winter.
Okay. Well, this is from Marcy Geller's newest album. It's called Open Book, and the piece is called No Weather Down.
Above the clouds, the sun still. I'll have no doubt. Won't let the rain get me down. Won't let the wind,
won't let this wind
push me. Steady on this track.
Ooh, yes, I do.
And if I need someone,
and if I need someone, if
to
I need
be strong,
someone,
I'll always reach for
I
you.
I will always reach for you. Yes, I will.
'Cause I know that you're the one who's got my back.
Won't let this way.
Marcy Geller and Vance Gilbert on her latest album, which is Open Book, and that was No Weather Down. And that is a marvelous tune.
Thank you.
Really, really good. And remind him of those white shorts.
I told you.
Next time you see him.
I'm bringing a tennis racket to NERFA this year. I'm going to lobby. Vance?
So what's in the future for Marcy Geller?
All right, I'm putting on my cap here.
It's probably a question you're asking every radio interview.
I was going to say it's a question I ask myself every morning when I wake up. What is in my future? Well, you know, I've got pretty much enough material to do another album. I just don't have a way to pay for it right at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably going to do a little bit more touring around, and when it's, you know, I'll know when the moment is right and we'll start recording again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what the future holds for me, but I know that it definitely holds making music and traveling and meeting new people, because that is my life, you know.
Right.
That, those are the things that stick with me and that I feel most grateful for. It's kind of what makes me feel like I have a story to tell, you know.
Right.
So,
and you're comfortable in these new shoes of this sort of softer tone?
Yeah.
Plus playing with Marshall.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's been really sweet. You know, there's always that side of me that is wanting to do everything. You know, I don't ever limit myself when I'm writing as, okay, you can only write these kinds of songs now. So I let come what comes, but I don't know that as an artist I'm necessarily going to put all of them out. You know, I think that maybe some of the future is me trying to explore having other artists cover different tunes. You know, I'm actually in the process right now where a friend of a friend introduced me to somebody whose daughters are both actresses, and the little one wants to sing. She's got the bug. Right. And they really liked one of my tunes. And it's something that's actually a little bit older, but it's kind of like it was an experiment. I never put it out, on the label, but it did get a lot of soundtrack placement because I created this like fake band, you know, gave it a name because it sounds like, a bubblegum pop, punk girl tune,
right.
And the power pop, and she loves it, so she's gonna cover the song and we'll see what happens. I there are different parts of me. There's a part of me that is a performer, and then there's the part of me that's the writer, and I don't want to put limits on either one of those two entities, but I don't know, maybe there's a musical in the future. There's all kinds of things that can happen,
right.
Because
that's good.
I want to explore and
exactly.
Maybe a cooking show. I don't know. I really like to cook. It's like my low pressure gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since I retired, I took up cooking, and my wife loves me now more than ever because I enjoy cooking.
I love cooking. It's like therapy for me. So the singing chef.
Well, we look forward to a lot more of Marcy Geller.
Well, thanks.
And this part. Now I'm going to have you guys do a live number, and then we'll go to the CD too. We'll do a little more chatting and the CD. But I want to hear some more of this live music here in the studio.
Yeah.
And this interplay between the piano and the percussive instruments.
Okay. So I'm not even going to give this one a big build up. We're just going to play it. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. Today I feel lighter. The darkness has gone. Things might get better. Who knew I was strong? I hung up my anger like an out-of-style dress. Served me at one time, but now I need less. This body keeps on pulling me against my mind's protest. 'Cause I surf the undertow. Against your good advice, I called upon angels to lend me a hand, hold on to something when I couldn't stand. Spent time chasing secrets, spent time chasing lies. Hope was the anchor, now I'm not sure why. 'Cause darkness still can pull on me as I dance with regret. 'Cause I surf the undertow. I surf the undertow. Against your good advice, against your good advice. Ooh. Today I feel lighter, the silence has grace. Abandon the chaos, allow me this space. I still respect my fragility, it balances my heart. 'Cause I surf the undertow, I surf the undertow.
against your good advice, against your good advice.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
From Marcy Geller's new album, Open Book. And that's got just some beautiful lines in it.
Cool.
The one I love is, I hung up my anger like an out-of-style dress. That's
thanks.
Beautiful. And that piece, too, The Silence Has Grace. There's something just in that little phrase that you've captured, something.
You know what's funny about that is the first time I ever performed it live, I wasn't feeling very well. I was in this big venue, and I just took a chance. I wanted to play. You know, when you write a new song, it's like you want people to hear it. So I said, let's do it. And I got to that line, and I, for a moment, had just a little lapse. I couldn't remember the next line of the song. So I took a deep breath and remembered it and then kept playing it. And a friend had recorded it for me. And we played it back, and he's like, you have to keep that in that song. Right. Like, you have to keep – and so it was kind of like it was supposed to be there, you know,
right.
which was kind of cool.
That is.
Yeah.
That is indeed. Do you have a favorite song on the new album?
I always say picking a favorite song is like picking your favorite child,
that's a good way to...
But it really depends on what day it is, and it usually depends on what I just wrote. Like, usually the one you just wrote is your favorite song ever, because that's the one that you can't get out of your head and is playing over and over again like an endless tape loop.
Right.
At least for me, that's how it happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a terrible question to ask.
It's not terrible. I think it's a natural question to ask, and just like most parents will never admit it publicly, they probably do have favorite kids. But I remember my mother-in-law. She's really she's so wise. And I was in the car with her and one of her four children, who's an adult, and you know, she just leaned over and she said, you're just my very favorite. And I was horrified. I'm like, how could you say that? And she looked at me and she said, well, right now she is. And I was like, I understand, which I get that. That makes sense to me. So I thought that was a very wise way of putting it,
Okay. So, songwriting. How long were you a member of the Songwriting Exchange, or how long did you participate in?
I actually went for the very first time on my birthday, which was a month after Jack had passed.
Okay.
So the first time I went was he passed, it's 2013, so he passed March 11, 2011.
2011, right.
So the first Songwriters Exchange that I actually made it to was April 11th, 2011.
Okay.
I was too intimidated to go when Jack was alive, and, you know, he just would taunt me, tease me about it, like, you know, just come. And
yeah, he could be an intimidating character.
He had a very strong personality, and... I was kicking myself when I heard that he had passed, that I hadn't ever gotten the guts to just go. So I made it a point, and I actually spent my birthday in 2011 at Songwriters Exchange. And I, you know, walked in not having any idea who would be there and if I would know anyone, and not really, you know, being invited. I just, you know, had been invited by Jack, which is, you know, that it's sort of an open house sort of thing anyway.
Yeah.
And I remember I walked in, and the strangest thing happened. All of a sudden, I hear a voice, Marcy? And it's a woman that I met when I did a house concert in Idaho. I mean, like, you know, what are the chances that you're going to meet somebody from Idaho at Jack's apartment? So,
only in the folk community.
Exactly. So that kind of broke the ice. And the very first song I played was Tom McCarthy. Because that was the one that I had just written. And,
right.
Yeah, I remember like trying to fit the keyboard in his teeny tiny little apartment. I like was like in the kitchen because I couldn't fit in the living room.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I have some fond memories. I never really participated in anything there. Mm-hmm. I'd been to Jack's apartment a few times, but he had a picture. I felt so honored because he had a wall of photos that were up. And there was a picture that was taken by a friend of mine at the New Bedford Summerfest when 1 year when Jack performed with my son and I.
Aww.
And it is a wonderful picture,
yeah.
Which my son had framed and Jack signed it and stuff. But my son and I kind of always joked that, you know, if Jack wasn't there, there were probably people who looked at that photo. You know,
because
the other photos were all, you know, pretty much famous people are saying, who the hell are those two guys?
You know? Well, it was the famous Steve Winters and his son, of course.
But I felt so honored.
Yeah.
I mean, we had gone, I guess we'd gone up to his apartment to have a few beers and things after he did a piece down at one of the clubs in the Village one night. And I had a friend with me, and my son was with me. And, you know, I was just so – I was taken back to see the photo. I hadn't realized that my son had given him a copy of the photo as well that our friend had printed up, you know, several big 8x10s of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, I felt honored. So,
yeah.
But the thing that got me, when you have the song on the album, Jack Sang On,
right.
Kind of brought me back – and probably Paul will tell you this actually happened. He was a guest, and he was doing the 11 to midnight, and we had a guest on from 10 to 11, and he kept singing. And I don't remember. Do you remember, Paul, when we actually went off the air that night?
You probably didn't.
I think we stayed on the air till probably 1, maybe 1:30, and then, as I recall, we packed everything up,
right.
And when I left, these guys were all sitting on a circle on the floor jamming,
right.
and then the next time I saw you, you said that they went home at like 3 o'clock in the morning,
3:30 in the morning,
That does not surprise me at all.
So that's our Jack Hardy story.
Everybody's got a Jack Hardy story if they stayed in it long enough.
Right. Well, so, yeah, what is your story?
Well,
which
you know,
the song pretty much
I was going to say, but the song is so literal. And you know, some of my songs are literal, but I try to throw a little poetry in there usually just because, you know, it's like sort of the spice. But for this particular song, you know, I got the news that Jack had passed, and it was like getting punched in the stomach. And, you know, the first thing I did was call up Stu Kabeck, who was, you know, just one of his best friends. And
played his music here on the air.
Stuart is just... There's no, they haven't invented a word for what a wonderful human being Stuart Kabeck is. And I just, it was weird. Like, that was the first thing I thought was I have to call Stu because I just knew that he'd be so shattered. And so I was driving somewhere for shows and I just spoke to him for a long time. And, you know, I knew there was going to be some sort of memorial that we waited and waited and waited. We kept, when's the funeral? And, you know, we found out after the fact that they had just had something small for the family and close friends.
Right.
But then they decided to do this memorial at Christopher Street down in the Village, and that there was an invitation to perform either a song that Jack wrote or something that you wrote for Jack. And once again, you know, running and just thinking about him so much because Jack had done me the honor of coming to my home and doing a house concert.
Mm.
And it sounds kind of like what you just described. Like, he sang for so long. And then even after everybody left, you know, we just wound up hanging out in the kitchen and just talking forever, you know. And that's when I really got to know him so well. And that's when, you know. Jack had these remarkable moments of kindness. You know, he could be really rough around the edges, but then he had this sweet side. And, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of wine involved, but there was this moment where he just looked up at me with this little twinkle in his eyes, and he just said, "You're more folk than you think you are." And I know that was his highest compliment.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Because I always, you know, like I'm a piano player. Like, where is there a place for me in the folk world? And, you know, so he just kind of anointed me that moment, you know.
Right.
And it was very sweet.
So. Well, it's a wonderful song. Let's go to the album and listen to it.
Sure.
It's Jack Sang On.
Yeah.
It's going to be track, I took you by surprise, Paul, track number 10. Our engineer for tonight is Paul Litvinovich, our chief engineer here at WSHU.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of keeps this whole place together.
I believe it.
It does amazing, amazing work. So
okay,
we will get to it. And he's the man mixing the sound tonight. I'm going to have you do, after we do this, you want to do one more live one?
Yeah, sure.
And maybe you might want to do Forgotten Dreams.
Oh, we'll see.
I don't know.
Oh, but you guys can, yeah,
you guys can work it out.
Okay.
While we're listening to Jack Sang On.
I met you in 2009 at the top of the hill at Pirate Camp, and you offered to share some of your Bambi kebabs, and I said that I don't eat that. And then you laughed and smiled told me just ask, and I was brave, and I did. And then Jack sang on, Jack sang on, Jack sang on my porch. Drove down from Calicoon that day, an hour late from traffic, but you settled in and charmed all the guests in your fabulous green velvet jacket. Then you paced and drank and took the stage like a pirate. And then Jack sang on, Jack sang on, Jack sang on my porch.
R.C. Geller's tribute to Jack Hardy, and a beautiful, moving piece that it is. And the chorus on the end, just beautiful.
Yeah, I'll give credit. We basically had a party and just invited anybody who wanted to come over to sing on the out chorus. And it's a lot of voices on there, and I'm going to forget some, I'm sure. But the two features that you can definitely make out are Jeremiah Birnbaum and Elaine Romanelli, both of who are very frequent participants of Songwriters Exchange. Mm. In fact, that's I met Jeremiah at Songwriters Exchange. Mm. He makes the pasta now. when it's every other week he does. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have you do one more live song, which I think you've agreed to.
I think so.
Marshall's been kind of pushing you in one direction tonight. I guess it'll be a workout for your vocal cords.
It's more a workout for my brain because this song was written not a few days ago. Well, okay. I mean, essentially, we talked about Folk Alliance. And at the beginning of Folk Alliance, the people who do the Kerrville Folk Festival, Dallas Allen and her partner, whose name is escaping me, they put up this songwriters challenge where they had a box of prompts, like, you know, hundreds of little pieces of paper with words or phrases written on it.
Right.
And you were challenged to try and come up with something by the last morning of Folk Alliance. Now, as we mentioned before, you don't get a lot of sleep. So not only was it daunting to write a song, but to actually get up at 8:30 and go sing in front of the entire, you know, conference on Sunday morning was just mildly nerve-wracking. But I got the prompt Forgotten Dreams, and I didn't want to over-intellectualize it. I wanted to just let come whatever came through, and I was on a run one morning, and yes, I ran in Toronto in 2-degree weather. I am insane. maybe that's why the song came, but I was about 2 miles from the hotel, and the first line came to me, and I got this image of somebody transitioning, and which was odd to me, but I thought about how when somebody is getting ready to pass on, how they hold on for us. You know? Mm-hmm. And so the song turned out being sort of a gospel-y kind of lullaby, telling them it's okay to go. Yeah. So this is called Forgotten Dreams, and I'm hoping I don't forget how to play it because it's really, really, really new. Not to make excuses, but...
And before you plunge into it, I just want to say thank you, Marcy Geller and Marshall Rosenberg, for being with us here on Profiles in Folk. And let's not wait 5 years for you to come back.
Definitely not.
And it's been an absolute joy.
Thank you.
Having you Mutual. Here and listening to your music.
Oh, thanks.
And this piece is called Forgotten Dream?
Yes. Okay. Lay down your head and follow the angels, for they will lead you to the final.
Live in Studio A, joining us here,
Marcy Geller and Marshall Rosenberg. And Marcy's new album, again, is called Open Book. So, and she will be at Herfest in June up in Stafford Springs, Connecticut, and hopefully at some other smaller venues here in Connecticut before then, so you get an opportunity to hear them live. Our thanks for their being here with us. And, well, we've got about a half an hour to go here on Profiles in Folk. You're tuned to WSHU Public Radio. This is WSHU FM 91.1 and HD in Fairfield, Connecticut, and WSUF 89.9 in Noyac, Greenport, New London, and streaming live on the internet at WSHU.org.